afternoon and welcome. I'm Ellen O'Brien, and you're listening to the Storage Media Group's weekly podcast. This week, I'm in studio with John Hilliard. He's going to take us around this week's top headlines. But before he does, I'll talk with Dave Raffo, our senior news editor based in Washington, D.C. Dave, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Thanks so much for joining us. I want to jump right in and talk to you about Hitachi. Your news team had a story this week about HDS saying they have finally jumped into the unified storage market. So they were just about last, I think, Dave, but they say they're doing it better than anyone else. What's the story here?
Yeah, they were, as you said, slow to get in. Just about everybody has unified storage now. You know, one of the things they're doing different is they do support object. File system, metadata for object systems with technology they acquired when they bought Blue Arc last year. And, you know, that's been the missing piece for Hitachi has been the NAS. They never really had their own NAS technology. So, you know, they really haven't had all the pieces to put into a unified system. Now they own the Blue Arc technology after years of reselling it. So they're using that in their unified system. So they do some object stuff, and obviously they support all the NAS protocols and Fibre Channel and iSCSI. Hitachi has always been a big in the SAN block storage space.
So they're talking about features like active-active dual controllers and automatic failover, dynamic load balancing. We've heard some of that before. Who are they going head-to-head with? Who are they compete with? And who are they do better than?
Well, their main competitors with Unified, and just about any storage area for that matter, would be EMC and NetApp. You know, NetApp has been Unified for many years. They were probably the first major vendor to really go heavy with Unified storage. EMC got more into it early last year with the VNX when they merged their Clarion SAN and the Solara NAS platforms. Those two guys do it a little bit differently. NetApp started out as a NAS player, started with block, and they layer the file on top of that. EMC went the other way. They started with block. They added file on top of that. Hitachi is closer to EMC. You know, like EMC, they have a NAS head and SAN controller, which are two different nodes, but there is one management infrastructure, so you could manage it through, you know, one application. So that's, you know, basically the high-end version of how they're doing it. So, you know, a lot of users will tell you they don't really care that much about the underlying architecture for these unified systems, as long as they can, you know, manage it, go to one place and manage it and not have to have two different devices and two different management interfaces.
Okay, well, we're going to keep an eye on how Hitachi does in that market. And before we let you go, I do want to talk a little bit about EMC and flash technology. Story out of an Israel newspaper this week says that EMC is interested in maybe buying Extreme IO, and that's because Joe Tucci has said he's committed to all types of flash technology. You wrote a blog post, Dave, saying that Tucci had been saying that this category of storage, talking about flash, will make up the vast majority for years to come. So is it true? Are they going to pounce on Extreme IO?
I don't know if they're going to buy Extreme IO. It's hard to say. Extreme IO isn't even in the market yet, really. You know, at this stage, it's just technology. We don't know how advanced their systems are, how close they are to being, you know, ready to be sold. But I think it's clear that EMC and all the storage guys now know that they need flash in as many places as possible. EMC came out with their VF cache earlier this year, about a month ago, which is a PCIe flash cache device that goes in the server. They have promised what they call the Project Thunder, which is a shared storage system using PCIe. They sell solid-state drives inside their main storage arrays. They could technically fill a complete array with solid-state storage and not have any hard drives, but that would be much more expensive than some of the startup vendors, including Extreme IO, are doing or are in the process of doing with their systems, which are all flash, but they are engineered from the ground up for flash. So, you know, if EMC does not buy Extreme IO, there is a chance they will look to buy one of the other guys out there. That list seems to be growing. There's, you know, a bunch of guys, Nimble, Pure Storage, Solid Fire, Whiptail, Caminario, Green Bytes, a lot of companies out there selling all flash storage array. Texas Memory is another one, Violin. So, you know, a lot of people expect not only EMC, but all the mainstream storage vendors to look to acquire that technology or build it themselves. And, you know, in the case of a company like EMC with deep pockets, it's a lot easier for them just to go out and buy the technology than to take the time to build it themselves. So that's another area that bears very close watching over the next year or so.
All right. Another rumor has NetApp looking at buying Fusion IO, just as you said. So it looks like it's going to be a busy area of market activity, and we'll be keeping an eye on it with you. Dave, thanks so much for joining us this week, as you do each week.
It's great to be here, and I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Dave.
Take care.
I'm going to toss it off to John Hilliard, who's going to wrap up the week's top headlines from across all of our sites and also offer up a few of his favorite blog posts. John, take it away.
Thanks a lot, Alan. First up is a bit more EMC news. The company announced this week that it's extending its data domain boost software to Oracle's Recovery Manager in an attempt to make deduplicated backups of Oracle servers run faster. EMC first unveiled DD Boost 2 years ago as a way to speed backups by offloading part of the data dedu process to the backup server. Now EMC is extending that capability to one of the applications that enterprises need to protect. EMC's goal here is to get more database administrators who are using Recovery Manager to back up to EMC's own data domain appliances. Enterprise Strategy Group senior analyst Jason Buffington said that database backup administrators who are using Recovery Manager often back up their data to a flat file rather than allowing backup administrators to handle their backups. He said that by starting the dedupe on the Oracle backup, ddboost for Recovery Manager gives database administrators more control, and it makes it easier to coordinate backups between the database administrator and the backup administrator. Buffington told SearchDataBackup.com that, quote, it keeps the backup administrator in the loop, it adds dedupe, and gives database administrators a smarter way to manage data protection. And in other news, Symantec announced this week that sales for last quarter came in below expectations. According to CEO Enrique Salem, this is in part impacted by their customers who are waiting for the backup exec refresh. But while the storage management and backup products slumped, Salem said he expects Symantec's NetBackup and backup exec appliances to help return business to normal. According to Symantec, the vendor anticipates reporting approximately $1.68 billion in revenue when it officially reports those earnings on May 2nd. Its original forecast for the quarter was between $1.72 billion and $1.73 billion. Symantec's revenue was $1.67 billion for the same quarter last year. And Commvault announced this week that it's partnering with Microsoft to offer a Commvault Sampana 9 Express with Microsoft's own Azure Cloud platform for enterprise data retention needs. Now, Commvault said the product bundle is part of a deepening, quote, strategic alliance with the software giant, which is focused on the Windows Azure Cloud platform. The bundle includes archiving and backup functionality for mid-size and large enterprises, plus Sampana offers source-side dedupe, data encryption, reporting, and chargeback capabilities, according to Commvault. And in our blog wrap-up this week, we have another item from Storage Soup. This is a write-up about the startup SimForm, which is a peer-to-peer cloud storage and backup service. This company's cloud consists of disk space from users' PCs, servers, and NAS devices. Now, they're looking for a second round of funding and partners. Now, they claim to have the security and data distribution worked out, and they have $8 million in hand. But company CEO Matthew Schultz said that he expects the other $3 million to come from a strategic partner, and that while he's still talking to potential partners, he expects a deal to include both a business development deal as well as funding. Now, Simform software comes pre-configured on QNAP NAS devices, and Schultz said the startup is about 500 resellers for its cloud. QNAP customers pay about $20 a month per bay for the Simform cloud if they contribute space from their device. Now, customers who download the Simform software on their computers get 10 gigabytes of free cloud storage to begin with, and they get another gigabyte free for every gigabyte they free up on their hard drive for the service, up to 200 gigabytes in total. Beyond that 200 gigabyte mark, Simform charges a subscription fee that starts at $3.50 per month for an end user license and $50 per month on a server license. And speaking of hard drives and security, Sophos's Naked Security blog is reporting a British study that suggests that 11% of secondhand hard drives contain personal information. Now, this is an interesting one. Britain's Information Commissioner's Office did a study of 200 secondhand hard drives, 11% of which the office said contained personal information, such as bank statements, passports, birth certificates, tax data, that sort of thing. And of the hard drives they found, only 38% of them had actually been wiped. That means that, you know, majority had actually still had the data on them. So it's definitely something that if you're ever decommissioning a computer or other device, that you make sure you're good and thorough about removing all the data from that device before you throw it away, because you never know who might end up on it.
Thanks so much, John. You know, every time we talk about one of those tech security stories, I think it makes you go back to your desk and look at your own personal habits. That wraps up this week's Storage Media Group podcast. We'll talk to you next week.